By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan urjim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah, wa ala alik wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast here from our Bradford studios here in the UK. And once again, every day is a beautiful day. And this is the outlook that we should have. This is the mindset that we should have, that without a doubt, every day is a beautiful day, because every day is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And we should appreciate the gifts, the time that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. Viewers of the channel, if you watch Rise and Shine, then you know that I like to begin the program by giving you a blessing of reciting the Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The blessing that I have given you today, that I'm going to give you today, is that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, reported to have said, that indeed the closest to me amongst the people on the day of judgment will be the one who recites the Durood-e Pak upon me the most. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Without a doubt, on that day, everybody wants to be as close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible. Everybody wants to be able to get close to him in the hope that he will intercede for us. Inshallah, he will intercede for us, that we can receive his blessings and obviously be able to have the vision of seeing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will be told that if we want to get close to him on the day of judgment, then one of the ways is to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So put aside time, or even, like I've said many times, you don't even have to put aside time, just make it part of your routine that you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, viewers of the channel, that when you watch Rise and Shine, the very first package that we have, and I make this claim, that it is the best package that you possibly can have on any program. And that is the opportunity, the blessing, the honor, in fact, to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وقال فرعون يا ايها الملأ ما علمت لكم من اله غيري
اور فرعون بولا اے درباریوں میں تمہارے لیے اپنے سوا کوئی خدا نہیں جانتا
فَأَوْقِذْ لِي يَا هَامَانُ عَلَى الطِّينِ فَاجْعَلْ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ إِلَى إِلَهِ مُوسَى وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ
تو اے حامان، میرے لیے گارہ پکا کر ایک محل بنا کہ شاید میں موسیٰ کے خدا کو جھانک آؤں، اور بے شک میرے گمان میں تو وہ جھوٹا ہے۔
واستكبر هو وجنوده في الارض بغير الحق وظنوا انهم الينا لا يرجعون
اور اس نے اور اس کے لشکریوں نے زمین میں بے جا بڑائی چاہی اور سمجھے کہ انہیں ہماری طرف پھرنا نہیں۔
فأخذناه وجنوده فنبذناهم في اليم فانظر كيف كان عاقبة الظالمين
تو ہم نے اسے اور اس کے لشکر کو پکڑ کر دریا میں پھینک دیا تو دیکھو کیسا انجام ہوا ستمگاروں کا۔
وجعلناهم أئمة يدعون إلى النار
اور انہیں ہم نے دوزخیوں کا پیشوا بنایا کہ آگ کی طرف بلاتے ہیں۔
وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يُنصَرُونَ
اور قیامت کے دن ان کی مدد نہ ہوگی۔
وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُمْ مِنَ مِنَ الْمَقْبُوحِينَ
اور اس دنیا میں ہم نے ان کے پیچھے لعنت لگائی اور قیامت کے دن ان کا برا ہے۔
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى بَصَائِرَ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ
اور بے شک ہم نے موسیٰ کو کتاب عطا فرمائی بعد اس کے کہ اگلی سنگتیں یعنی قومیں ہلاک فرما دی جس میں لوگوں کے دل کی آنکھیں کھولنے والی باتیں اور ہدایت اور رحمت تاکہ وہ نصیحت مانے۔
وَمَا كُنتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ اِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ
اور تم تور کی جانب مغرب میں نہ تھے جبکہ ہم نے موسیٰ کو رسالت کا حکم بھیجا اور اس وقت تم حاضر نہ تھے۔
وَلَكِنَّا أَنشَأْنَا قُرُونًا فَتَطَاوَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعُمُرُ
مگر ہوا یہ کہ ہم نے سنگتیں پیدا کی کہ ان پر زمانہ دراز گزرا۔
وَمَا كُنتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ تَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا وَلَكِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ
اور نہ تم اہل مدین میں مقیم تھے ان پر ہماری آیتیں پڑھتے ہوئے، ہاں ہم رسول بنانے والے ہوئے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ Viewers of the channel, we just had the opportunity, the blessing and the honor, in fact, to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we make it part of our daily routine, not only to listen as we have this opportunity on Rise and Shine, but to put aside some time to actually read the Holy Quran on a daily basis, to try and understand what our Creator, what our Rabb, what the Lord of all the worlds wants us to understand. To understand from the stories that are mentioned in the Quran, to understand from the commands of the Quran, and to act upon the Quran, to live our lives in such a way according to the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Sunnah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've said it many times before. Well, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I leave you two things, the Quran and my way. Follow them, inshallah, you will never go astray." Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine today, and the topic that we have for today, we'll introduce the topic before we go to the Kalam, is a topic that I think we all should always ponder over. And I remember that I was quite fortunate that when I came into the environment of Dawat Islami, the brother that brought me into the environment of Dawat Islami, he gave me a very early lesson. And his Madani pearl that he gave me then, he said to me that whatever beyond, if in the future you do beyonds, if in the future you do dars, because obviously that wasn't my intention at the time. My intention at the time was to obviously to rectify myself and sort myself out. He said, whatever work of the deen that you do within the environment of Dawat Islami, or any work that you do, in fact, say to yourself that I am giving this dars, I am doing this speech, I am explaining this to someone. And whether or not that person in front of you benefits or not, think to yourself that you're talking to yourself. That this is a topic for you, this is a dars for you, this is a warning for you. You are rectifying yourself. And if other people can benefit from it, all well and good, but this is something that you need to benefit from. And today the topic that we have is ostentation. Now, people may not even understand what does the word ostentation mean. Ostentation means showing off, doing something for the wrong reasons. And inshallah, we're going to explain that a little bit. So as a person that I'm sitting here today, I need to ask myself the question, why am I sitting here today and talking to you? Am I sitting here and talking to you so that the viewership of Madri Channel will increase, so that people can learn something from this, people can benefit from this? What is my intention that I'm sitting here today? Am I sitting here for the intention that people will get to know me, and they'll start liking me, and I'll get famous? Is that my intention? So I need to ask myself, and if I do not get my intentions right, then I could be amongst those people that are showing off. So this topic is very important, especially for the preachers of Dawah Islamiyah, whether you're a Naat reciter, whether you're giving talawat, whether you, you know, the general Muslims, they're spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are reading the salah, whatever they are doing. These things, unless you have the right intention and you're doing it for the right reasons, then you could be showing off. You could be showing off. And I remember just before I came here, as I was coming into the studio, I quickly heard something. And it was a kalam by a Sufi Bulesha, a saint from the Pakistan subcontinent. And obviously it was in the language of Punjabi, but he said something to the words, and I cannot always remember the exact word, but he said that a person, you know, ilm pariya, kitaba pariya, apne apnu kandiya qazi, that you've got the knowledge, you've read the books, and you're calling yourself a qazi. And then he goes on to say that you've lifted a talwar, you've lifted a sword, and you're calling yourself a qazi, that you say you've got a sword in your hand, and you're calling yourself a Ghazi, that you're a warrior in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he goes on to say that, you know, Makkah, Medina, get apne apnu keh rahe haji, that you've been to Makkah, you've been to Medina, now you're calling yourself a haji. And then he addresses himself, oh Bulayasha, you know, what have you, oh Bulayasha, what have you achieved? What have you achieved, agar rab no kita razi, if you've not achieved the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, you've not got Allah Azza wa Jal's approval for your deeds. If you've not got them things, if you can call yourself a Qazi, you can call yourself a Ghazi, you can call yourself a Haji, you can call yourself a Namazi, you can call yourself all these things. But if in all of these things, you've not achieved the goal of achieving the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal to follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what have you achieved? And so you can show off, and people do show off, that I am a Qazi, I am an educated person. That I am a lecturer, I am a barrister, I am an accountant, I am an engineer, I am a teacher, I am these things, and you're showing off. Yeah, you can maybe, you know, all right, the example is not as much, but you've got a sword in your hand, and you call your Ghazi, that you're someone that's sacrificing your life in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that you're spending all this time. And, you know, I remember many, many times that when Rukni Shura talks to people and the other person starts saying, well, you know, I've given Dawah Islamiyah this 20 years, I've given it 25 years. And well, why are you telling us this?
Yeah.
Keep it between you and your Rabb. Yeah? And so, and then, you know, you people go on Hajj and they say, oh yeah, I did one Hajj, I did five Hajjs, I did 12 Hajj, I did Hajj every year. Why are you telling people these things? You know? And for all these things, if you've achieved them, have you achieved the pleasure of your Rabb? Have you got the pleasure of your Rabb? And more importantly, all of these things that you do, we should have this fear inside us, that even if we have the correct intention, even if I go on Hajj because Hajj is farz upon me, even if I come on this channel and sit in front of you with the intention that I want to learn something from it, that I want to prevent my viewers from committing sins, I want to promote good for my viewers so that they adopt a good life, then I should still have this fear inside myself. Okay, you've got your intention sorted out. But is it accepted? Is it accepted in the court of our Rabb? Have I achieved the pleasure of my Rabb by coming here or not? Now, if I've achieved the pleasure of my views, then okay, with all due respect, so what? If I've not achieved the pleasure of my Rabb, if my Rabb is not happy with me, if my Rabb is not happy with me coming here, then I need to question this. And I remember in the early days when Madri Channel was first switched on, and one of the senior Mubaliks of Dawah Islamiyah went to Umil Sunnat and said to him that, Azur, you know, ikhlas, sincerity, now that Madri Channel has come, it's going to be very hard to have that sincerity inside ourselves, because to avoid ostentation, to avoid showing off, you need to have this sincerity inside yourself. And so when Madri Channel first came, and obviously we're sitting here, now how sincere am I sitting here in front of you? And they asked the question that now that Madri Channel's good, because before we had an ishtama, 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, 1,000, 2,000 people, and now potentially we could be talking to millions and it could be going around the world on different platforms. And now sincerity is hard. Now sincerity is very hard. And rather than, what was amazing, rather than Amir al-Sunnah say to him that, look, you know, this is what you need to do to adopt sincerity, this is what you do, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Amir al-Sunnah turned around and said, well, tell me this, did you have sincerity before? Were you sincere when there was only 10 people there? Were you sincere when there were only 20 people there, 50 people? Were you sincere then? And that is the real question. Have we been sincere, or all our lives have we been performing these good deeds to show off? And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today. And inshallah, we're going to give you a definition of sincerity. We're going to give you some hadiths about it, and then we're going to give you some examples of people who perform the salah, how they can be showing off, people who recite the naat, how they can be showing off, people who spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, how they could also be showing off, and other examples as well, general examples in our life, that we need to try and examine ourselves. And when I give these examples, I want you, and I will do the same, to look at yourself and say, yeah, well, you know, I did do that. But did I do it because of, or did I do it because of? Did I do it to please my Rabb, or did I do it to these things? And these are the sort of questions that we need to ask. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah, and then when we come back, we'll get into the topic a little bit deeper, and we'll try to understand what ostentation is, what actually showing off is, and how hopefully, by listening to these examples, we can try and develop a mindset to stay away from these sort of things. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ये एक जान क्या है अगर हो करोड़ों, ये एक जान क्या है अगर हो करोड़ों, तेरे नाम पर सबको वारा करूं मैं आप पर कुर्बान मेरी जान या रसूल अल्लाह فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم سرکار کے گدا ہیں کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم سرکار کے گدا ہیں کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم کوئی نہیں ہمیں آقا قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم ہے لب پر جاری قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم ہے لب پر جاری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
رنجو علم ہمارے سب دور ہو گئے ہیں رنجو علم ہمارے سب دور ہو گئے ہیں ہم ذکر مصطفیٰ سے مسرور ہو گئے ہیں ہم ذکر مصطفیٰ سے مسرور ہو گئے ہیں مسرور آقا صدا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری صدا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ سائے میں تمہارے ہیں قسمت یہ ہماری ہے قربان دل و جان ہے کیا شان تمہاری ہے
خوش نصیب جن کو حاصل ہے ان کی نسبت وہ خوش نصیب جن کو حاصل ہے ان کی نسبت پاتے ہیں چین و راحت کرتے ہیں ان کی مدحت پاتے ہیں چین و راحت کرتے ہیں ان کی مدحت کرتے ہیں آقا کہتی ہے دنیا ساری حسرت ہے یہ ہماری کہتی ہے دنیا ساری حسرت ہے یہ ہماری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
نبی سے اپنے سینے کو جگمگائے ذکر نبی سے اپنے سینے کو جگمگائے دربار مصطفیٰ میں سر اپنا ہم جھکائے دربار مصطفیٰ میں سر اپنا ہم جھکائے سر اپنا ہم جھکائے ہو اشک ندامت کے آنکھوں سے اپنی جاری ہو اشک ندامت کے آنکھوں سے اپنی جاری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ سارے میں تمہارے ہیں قسمت یہ ہماری ہے قربان دل و جان ہے کیا شان تمہاری ہے
پنج تن کی الفت اصحاب سے محبت یہ پنج تن کی الفت اصحاب سے محبت غوث الورا کی چاہت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت غوث الورا کی چاہت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت مرشد سے یہ محسن یہ جانی ساری قائم رہے ہماری محسن یہ جانی ساری قائم رہے ہماری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ فدا کا یا رسول اللہ فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast from our Bradford studios in the UK. And today we're talking about ostentation. And what does ostentation mean? Ostentation means showing off, performing a deed. And the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is reported to have said that Allah has declared paradise haram. Haram for every ostentatious person. And, you know, when this particular hadith on, in light of this hadith, Alama Muhammad Abdul Rauf Munawi Rahmatullah stated that it means that an ostentation person, because it is our belief that every Muslim, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, will, after facing the punishment of their sins, being accountable for the sins and being punished for them, then will, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, every Muslim will enter paradise. But Alama Muhammad Abdul Rauf Munawi Rahmatullah said, with regards to this hadith, it means that the ostentation person will initially not enter paradise and he will be punished for his sins. Now, to understand, and this is a very, very important point, to understand what is ostentation, and you'll realize that it's about your intentions and everything. Hajjatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, explains ostentation through this example. He says that a person stands before the king all day, as is the practice of the servants, but his aim is not to gain the closeness of the king, but to look at his maid. I.e., his act of standing there is certainly a mockery of the king. So what would be more hateful and contentious than a person who worships Allah Azza wa Jal to impress his weak and helpless bondsmen who can innately neither benefit them nor harm them? So you are doing something that would appear that you are trying to please your Rabb, but in fact, you're doing it to impress someone else, to look at someone else, to achieve something else, where you are not doing it to please your Rabb. And that is why ostentation is something that we need to be very wary of. And with regards to our deen, ibadat, it is stated to worship with any other intentions besides the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is ostentation. To worship without any other intention besides the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is ostentation. Now, inshallah, we're going to try and give you some examples of that, because that is a big thing, isn't it? To worship Allah Azza wa Jal with the intention of something else besides the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is ostentation. Now, we may say to ourselves, well, that's not true. You know, those people that read the namaz, they read the namaz for Allah Azza wa Jal. Those people that read the Quran, they read it for Allah Azza wa Jal. Those people that, you know, do a speech, do a naat, go to the ishtama, read the hajjat, chash, the ishraq, spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, fast during the month of Ramadan, perform a hajj, all of these things, we're doing it, why? For the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And yes, that should be our intention. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we all have that intention. But then, at the same time, we need to be asking ourselves these questions. For example, if we offer salah, when we talk about people who offer salah, I'm going to give you some examples now of people that offer salah. If we offer salah with the intention that people say that he's very steadfast in his salah, that he's always there, he's always in the front saf, he's always there. So people say, mashallah, mashallah, he's a pakka namaz, he's a steadfast prayer, he's steadfast in namaz, and therefore, mashallah, he is very, very good. Then obviously the people that are leading the prayers, the hafiz during the Tarawih prayers, if we're reading the Tarawih, and if we are a hafiz, and our intention in reading the Quran in the Tarawih prayers is to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, to follow the sunnah of our pious predecessors, to achieve the closeness, to be able to recite the Quran, the blessings of reciting the Quran, and for us behind it, the blessings of listening to the Quran. If that is the intention of the hafiz, that I am making this intention, then inshallah Azza wa Jal will be rewarded. But if whilst he's, you know, there, his mind is thinking, you know what, I'm going to get £500 for this, I'm going to get 1,000, and he's doing it because of that reason. And he's not doing it purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's doing it so that, you know, in this masjid, there's a lot of people, isn't there? A lot of people will listen to my tilawat. Yeah? Again, what is your intention? Are we doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? Are we doing to impress these people? Are we doing to fill my pockets? Again, these are the questions that we need to ask. You offer an ishtama, you attend the ishtama to those brothers that attend the weekly ishtama on a Thursday night. To offer salah with jamaat or call out sadaya madina, I wake up Muslims for fajr salah on the day of one's marriage. You know, the day that you're getting married, you still go to the ishtama. On the day of one's marriage, you still go to the masjid with jamaat 5 times. On the day of one's marriage, you wake up people for fajr. So people say, wow, look at this guy. He's getting married today. Yeah, and even on the day of his marriage, you know, he's still getting up and waking up for people for fajr. Even on the day of his marriage, he's not missing the weekly ishtama. Even on the day of his marriage, and you're doing it with that intention. Whereas normally you miss the ishtama every now and then. Normally you're missing jamaat every now and then. Normally, very rarely do you wake people up for fajr. But because of the day of your marriage, you're doing it so that people will say, wow, it's the day of his marriage and he's doing all these things. This again is a form of showing off. And again, you know, all of these good deeds that we do, why do we do it? Why do we wake people up for fajr? Yeah? Are we doing it so that people wake up for fajr? Are we doing it to people, mashallah, mashallah, he's up early, he gets up early and he does this. I remember I was in Pakistan during Ramadan one year, and one of my relatives, he used to go to the masjid, and 15 minutes before Seri time, he'd make an announcement that there's only 15 minutes left. There's only, and then 10 minutes left, then 5 minutes left, then 2 minutes left, then 1 minute left. And then he would say, you know, quickly, 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 close your roza. And I thought, mashallah, you know. But, you know, he'd been doing that for years and years and years. And, you know, many people didn't even know who it was that was doing it. So, you know, I prayed that he did it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But that was is a good deed. And everybody knew of that deed because everybody was doing it so that everybody could become aware of it. But again, why are we doing these things? Why do we do these things? And if we do it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then inshallah we'll get the reward for it. And that's what we need to ask ourselves. You get people that, you know, when they're in the masjid and they offer salah so calmly, taking so long in the qiyam, they've got such a long ruku, a long sajda, you know, and maybe that's just how they are. Maybe they take longer. And I know people that genuinely take longer to read the salah than others. When I know people that when they are reading the salah, they concentrate on every single word that they are reading, and they have no knowledge of who's in the masjid or not. Now, then people, they inshallah, my good intentions, my good belief, my husnizan about them is that they will be rewarded. But what about if we are doing it so that people will think, wow, look at him, you look at, see how long his ruku was, see how long his sajda was. He must be really pious. Yeah. Whereas at home, he's like a pecking bird, you know, reading his namaz really, really quickly. Again, why are we lengthening in our namaz? Why? Is it because that's what we normally do? Is it because people are watching us? And if people are not watching us, you know, this is the criterion that you can have. If people were not there watching me, would I be doing the same act? Would I be doing the same act? For example, again, to make people aware of your good deeds, that you attend the weekly ishtama, yeah? You attend the weekly ishtama and you stay all night in the study circles, you read Fajr in the morning, you stay there for Chasht Ishraq, and then you leave the ishtama, those people that get the itikaf in the masjid, and all during the day you're yawning and you stretch, oh, you know, I'm really tired. Wow, I'm really tired. You know, people say, why? Oh, you know what? All night in the masjid, yeah, and then, you know, I stayed up all night in the study circles, and then, you know, the Chasht Ishraq, and then, you know, normally, you know, after Fajr, I get a bit of a sleep, but I couldn't sleep because I stayed up for Chasht Ishraq, and then I went to work, and I'm really, really tired. You know, so why did you go so that in the next day you could tell people, you could make people aware of the fact that this is what you've done, so people can be, wow, you stayed up all night and you still went to work during the day. And they feel sorry for you, that look at him, he's tired, bichara, poor thing, he's tired. That should not be the case. You know, do things purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, if a person does good deeds, he does chasht, ashraq, awabin, he offers tahajjud, yeah? And he makes people aware of this, right? Or people become aware of this, directly or indirectly. Is he doing it so that people will say, mashallah, mashallah? I mean, there may be, maybe people you know, they offer tahajjud and you don't know that. You don't know that, yeah? And, you know, so them are the people that are doing it purely for the pleasure of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. But those people that make it openly, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has blessed me that I am able to offer tahajjud every single day. Alhamdulillah, I offer chasht, ashraq every day. And then in the evening, I offer the awabin prayer. Why are you telling people? Why are you telling people? What do you want from, what do you want? If you tell me, or if I tell you that I offer tahajjud, I offer chasht, I offer ashraq, I offer, what do I want from you? Or if you tell me, what do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want me to say now? What do you want? What do you want? Ask yourself this question. What do you want people to say, or what do you want people to think when you tell people these things? And if you are doing it, and it's very hard to think of a reason why you would tell people that you offer tahajjud, that you offer chash, ishaq, awabin, that you offer these. Maybe you could say that, okay, you've got the intention that you're trying to encourage them, look, it's not very hard. You know, if you just go to sleep and you get up, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before Sari, then you can offer tahajjud and it's easier to do it. I've been trying to do it, you know, you do it as well. And if you do, that's your intention to encourage someone, then maybe you can think, yes, there is a reward in this. But if it's not, then ask yourself, why? Now, I'm thinking to myself, now, why would we do this? Why would we tell people about our good deeds? Why is it that we would tell people? And the only thing I can think of to my mind is, unless we have the good intention that we're trying to encourage others, But by encouraging others, we won't just tell them about the good deeds, we would tell them about the reward, that look, if you offer tahajjud, this is the blessing. Charge the shraq, this is the blessing. I will be in, this is the blessing. And look, it's not hard, you know. Charge the shraq, it'll only take you 5 minutes. I will be in, it's just a little bit longer after the prayer. Tahajjud, just get up and try and encourage them to do it. Then you can see there is a reward in it, and then you can see your intention. But if you're just telling people, oh, you know what, I'm a bit tired today. You know, I did a bit of an extra long tahajjud last night. And I stayed up a bit, you know, Qiyamul Layl, and I read a bit of Quran, and I was doing my wazaif, and I started reading more Quran than normal, and so I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired. You know, I just need some rest. Again, why are you telling people? Yeah, if you tell people I'm tired, then okay, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. I didn't sleep as much as last night. Why did I not sleep as much? Now that's a separate thing. You don't have to tell people. Maybe, you know, if you just say I didn't sleep enough last night, and that's why I'm tired. That's khalas. But telling people your good deeds, letting people know that you've done this. Again, what are you trying to achieve? For someone about whom people have a positive opinion that he regularly performs the hajjat and nafil pass, to smile and lower his head when introduced as someone who has these qualities. You know, so if someone introduces you, yeah, and they say, mashallah, this person, he offers the hajjat, mashallah, he's steadfast in the nafil prayers, and you're going, what is this? I mean, it's not your fault that you've been introduced. Obviously. One is the question, how did they find out? But if you've been introduced like that, then the question is what should you be feeling at that time? Yeah. Should you be feeling happy that, you know, people have become aware of my good deeds? You know, I'll give you my personal example. You know, whenever at the weekly ijtima you do a bayan, and afterwards, alhamdulillah, people meet you and do mulaqat, and your nafs, part of your nafs wants to hear someone to say, brother, mashallah, good speech. But I have to push that away. I have to keep on saying to myself, no, this is wrong. To think like this is wrong. For me to even think like this is wrong. And I need to constantly have this battle. And as Muslims, this controlling the nafs is not something that once you've overcome the enemy, you know, like class it as an enemy, but it's an enemy that cannot be completely defeated. It's not someone that an enemy that once you've beaten it, it's gone away and you'll never see that enemy again. That enemy is there for you all your life. And so you need to completely, constantly battle with that enemy. Battle with that enemy and say that I need to control myself. That whatever I do for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I'm not going to let my ego, I'm not going to let my nafs, I'm going to not let people succumb, enable me to succumb to my ego, enable me to succumb to my nafs, enable me to take away from me the good deeds that I have attained, that I hope I've attained, and to ruin that. And so you need to be constantly battle with yourself. Because as we've said before, the open enemy that we've got is shaitan, and shaitan will do everything to put things inside you, to convince you, to try and make you think that, look, this is what I want to do. You know, and if we are doing it for fame, if we're doing these things so that people become aware of us, if we're doing it for likes, if we're doing it for, you know, the number of likes I've got on social media, if I'm doing it for this, then what have I achieved? And yes, you know, there's a part of your ego that wants to look and see how many likes they've got. Why are you looking? You want to see what comments you got. Why are you looking? You know, just do things purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So nowadays, these weapons of shaitan, they're very hard, and we need to ask ourselves these questions as people, as muballighs, as preachers, that if we put anything on social media, why? What is my intention of putting these things on social media? What am I trying to achieve here? What am I trying to do? And these are the questions that I need to ask myself every single day. And we all need to ask ourselves, with any good deed that we do, why are we doing it? Now, we may do it because it's a command of Allah, we may all this, but really, be honest with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself in the eye and ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? Why is it that I've accepted the opportunity to recite a naat here, but not here? Is it because there's 500 people here and there's only 20 people here? Is that the reason? Is that the reason, or are we doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla? I remember talking about naat, I remember someone saying to me that, oh, I want to be able to recite a naat in that gathering because there's a lot of people gathering there. And his father said to him, do you want to recite another? Recite it here at home. Why do you have to go and recite it there? If you're reciting it for the right reason, recite it here now. Come on, I'm listening. And again, this is the, it opens up the question, doesn't it? We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah. And hopefully when we get back, we might have a guest. If not, I'll carry on talking. But let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Let us listen to the virtue of the noble prophetic household from the blessed tongue of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is stated and reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. He says, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ I heard the beloved Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ say, أَلَا إِنَّ مِثْلَ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ مِثْلُ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ رَوَاهُ أَحْمَد. It is reported by Sayyiduna Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu that he was holding on to the door of the Holy Kaaba. And he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, Behold, listen attentively, the example of my Ahl Bayt among you is like that of Nuh's ark. Whoever boarded it was saved, whoever remained behind was destroyed. He held on to the door of the Kaaba so that the listeners would realize the great importance of this hadith. And what does it mean? This statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as during the flood of Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam, the only means of salvation was the ark of Nuh, in the same way until the day of judgment, the only means of salvation is love for the Ahlul Bayt, obedience to them and following their path. Without obedience and adherence, a claim of love is meaningless. In another hadith, it is mentioned, "Ashabi kan nujum, fabi'ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum." My companions are like stars. Whichever of them you follow, you will be guided. Thus, the world is like an ocean, and in this journey, one needs both the ship to ride upon and the stars to be guided by. All praise is for Allah Almighty. The Ahlul Sunnah are secure and are upon salvation, for they hold firmly to both the Ahlul Bayt and the noble Sahaba-i Kiram. And those people who have animosity to the noble prophetic household, they have no ship. And those who have animosity to any of the Sahaba-i Kiram, they have no sense of guiding stars. Thus, neither of them can cross this ocean and reach safely. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, this narration provides guidance to the Muslim Ummah, which path you need to stay on. And Alhamdulillah, the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah is upon that path, where in one side we have the blessed teachings and guidance and love for the prophetic household, the Ahlul Bayt. And on the other side of our, we have the blessed love and the admiration and respect for the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ahl-e sunnat ka hai bera paar, ashab-e huzoor najm hai, aur nao hai itrat Rasulullah ki. This means that the Ahl-e sunnati wal jama'ah are secured and are safe in this world and in the hereafter. For they have the love of the Ahlul Bayt and the love and respect for the Honorable Sahaba-i Kiram alayhim ridwan. May Allah Almighty keep us firm in our love for these auspicious personalities, and may we remain on this belief and love whilst we leave this world. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, we're talking about ostentation today, showing off. We were talking a little bit about the ostentation of a person that reads his namaz. And another one could be that, for example, if you stay late in the masjid, you know, after Salatul Isha, you stay behind. And some people stay behind and they offer nafil prayers, and it's good. You know, it's good that people do stay behind and people are attached to the masjid. It's good that people like to stay in the masjid. It's people that, you know, after Zuhr, after Asr, people stay in the, after Asr and wait for Maghrib. People after Isha stay behind do some ibadat on the road. And it's good that they do these things. Alhamdulillah, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, myself included, that I can have that attachment to the masjid, I can have that love of the masjid, I can be amongst those guests of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah doesn't want me to leave the masjid, that Allah gives me the opportunity to stay there. But at the same time, the question we need to ask is that if we are staying behind in the masjid, if we are lengthening our prayers, if we are reading the Quran in the masjid, if we're doing all these things, why? Are we doing it because, you know, it's peace and quiet here, we're in the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we can't do it at home? You know, because obviously you can read the Quran at home, you can offer them extra prayers at home, you can read the wazifa at home. Or are we doing it here because we're in the masjid, we've made intention for nafli itikaf, we're reaping the rewards of that? If we're doing it for that reason, alhamdulillah, beautiful. But are we doing it so that people think, you know what? Every day, Asr to Maghrib is there. Everybody leaves the masjid, he's there on his own, sitting there reading the Quran, and then he's doing wazayif, and he's just sitting there all that time on his own. You know, mashallah, what a great pious person he is. Now, people may say that. People may say that. But what is your intention? Is your intention so that people say that? If your intention is so that people will say that, then that's ostentation. That is showing off. If your intention is such that you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah as well, but as a result of that, people are saying that, then that's not your intention. Because sometimes what happens is, you need to understand that we make an intention to do something and we achieve many things. But our intention is to achieve this. Now, if we get everything else, then that's besides the point. But is my intention this or is my intention this? Now, sometimes I may intend this and I might get other things as well, but I need to look at my intention. If it's a result of you doing a speech, if it's a result of you staying behind, if it's a result of you elongating your prayer, if it's a result of people becoming aware that you read, that you commit all these good deeds, and that people praise you, that's secondary. That's secondary. But if primary goal, if our only goal, in fact, not our primary goal, our only goal is to achieve the pleasure of our Rabb, then inshallah, all of those things you'll get. Because Allah is the one that gives us the respect. If Allah Azza wa Jalla deems that you are worthy of that respect, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you the disrespect. And in the same way, we need to be aware of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla can give us that disrespect as well. So if we get all these things, then that is a secondary. But our only goal should be to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we, for example, go to the masjid and our aim is to get to the front row, we want to be in the front row so that people say, mashallah, he's always in the front row. He's always there in the front row. Yeah? Is that your intention? Is it the intention that you're getting there because you have heard the rewards of being in the front row? Is that why you want to be there? Or is it that people will tell you that you're in the front row? And I've seen places where people have reserved their place in the front row. They put their player mat there, you know? You hear these stories of people that, you know, reserve their places on beaches by putting the towels there, and this is my place where I'm going to be sitting, yeah? But I've now heard that there are places that people reserve their place in the masjid, they put the prayer mat and that's my place. I said, you know, be there on time, get the blessings of being in the front row and stay there. And again, but if you have any doubt about what people will think about you, the fact that you may be showing off, that you may have a statistician, then, you know, okay, you know, don't sit in the front row, but remove that thing of people and control your nafs and control your ego. Now, coming on to people who, alhamdulillah, are in the environment of Dawstan, that may be the brothers and the sisters that when we do speeches, why do we do speeches? Again, are we doing speeches so that we can promote what is good and prevent what is evil? Are we doing speeches so that we can achieve the mission of Dawstan, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world? Or am I doing a speech so that people praise his speech and say, mashallah, he's a good talker, he's a good speaker. You know, his speeches are very, very good. He's a good talker. If we're doing it, then you may be a good talker. You may be a good preacher. You may receive these comments, but is that your intention? And that's where you need to be very, very careful. Why am I doing this? And I think we need to ask this question all the time. And the perfect example that comes to my mind is Amir al-Istanat, the founder of Dawat Islam. And you know, when you watch the Madani Muzakara on Saturday night, many times they show him getting ready. They show him getting his Imam Sharif on, getting his chadar, wrapping it on, you know, putting some itar on. Sometimes he'll put a badge on, put one of them cards on his chest and doing things to get ready. And then he walks towards the place where he's going to come out in front of the pub. But then he stops and he's got a card in front of him and he reads that card. And that card is written by himself. He himself wrote the card. And on that are the intentions that you need to make, that he's put down for himself, the intentions that I need to make before I go out and face the public. So he's renewing them intentions, questioning himself, making sure that, look, this has got to be the reasons why you're doing it. This is the reasons why I'm going out. This is the reasons why I'm doing the Madani Muzakarah. And so we also need to do that. If someone like Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Tami, the Awwali of his time, is constantly questioning his intentions, then who are me and you? We need to constantly question ourselves, constantly look at ourselves, constantly try to improve ourselves. Like I said, this enemy of the nafs, the enemy of the ego, never goes to sleep. So we need to keep on top of it. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah, and then when we come back, we'll continue talking about this problem of ostentation. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
In this life of ours, we know that we have come from Allah and we are to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will live eternally. Allah ta'ala is eternal. Allah ta'ala is ever living. We are humankind. We are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a fixed lifespan and then we are to leave this dunya. When a loved one passes away, despite knowing that this was to occur, we still feel emotional because of our strong attachment to that person, because of our memories of that person, because of our relationship with that person. It may be a parent, a child, a sibling, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent. But remember, even in such difficult moments, when we lose our loved ones, we must stick to patience, cling to patience. Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, in my sight, the only reward for that person who remains patient when his loved one is separated from him, meaning the loved one's soul is extracted, the loved one passes away, and he remains patient, in my sight, the only reward for such a person is Jannah, is paradise. So what's the reward? Paradise. What do we have to do? Remain patient when our loved ones pass away. We are not to lament. We are not to wail. In fact, we are to instruct others to be patient as well. It's a very difficult time. Of course it is. But when we keep such narrations in mind, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us, will reunite us with our loved ones in Jannah, in paradise, inshallah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast from our UK studios in Bradford. And today we're talking about ostentation, about showing off. And it's something that I feel, as we've heard so far, is something that we're not aware of, that we are doing it. And we need to be very, very careful with regards to this. It's something, like I said earlier on, that our ego, our nafs is our open enemy. It's something that can constantly be attacking us. And it's not something that you can defeat and say, that enemy is gone, it's never going to come back again. So constantly, it's a constant battle to make sure that whatever good deed we do is purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I gave the example early on of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ta'ala. He said that if you do something, you know, as the servant is standing in front of the king, as is the job of the servant is standing in front of the king, but if his intention in standing in front of the king is to look at his maid, then he's doing that act for the wrong reason. And so again, we need to ask our reasons why we're doing these things. Are we doing it so that we are standing in front of our Rabb? Or are we doing it for other reasons? And that is what ostentation is. We're going to go to a break now, inshallah. I think we've got a cartoon for you, inshallah. Let's go to this. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, achi bachi. Kaniz Fatima, achi bachi hai. Sachi hai. Sakti kaam
hai. Hold on a sec. Raika, what are you doing?
I'm just washing up.
Are you washing up or wasting water? Do you know that water is a great blessing of Allah Almighty? Don't waste water. On Judgment Day, we will be held to account over blessings. It's stated in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, meaning, then on that day, you will most certainly be asked about blessings. Therefore, do not waste a great blessing like water. Rika, have a look who's at the door.
Hold on a sec, I'm just coming. Just a second. Who is it?
It's me, Ramin. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, Sister Ramin. Please come inside. How are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. I can't see Kaniz Fatima. Where is she?
She's in the kitchen. Let me call her. Please have a seat. Sister, Ramin's sister is here.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal.
Where are you going holding this shopping bag in your hand?
No, nowhere. I wasn't going anywhere.
Well, what actually happened was our fridge stopped working and these things would go off without being in the fridge. So I came here to ask you if I can keep these things in your fridge for a few days.
Sure, why not? But let me first ask my dad.
Of course, dear. You may do so. Helping out others is a great deed.
Yes, Ramin, you can use our fridge. I've asked my dad. Jazakallahu khaira.
These look like yummy things to eat.
These are all the things. Please keep them in your fridge. Our fridge will also be repaired in 1 or 2 days.
Yummy.
Right, read the dua of going to sleep.
Allahumma bismika amudu wa ahya. Yay! That was yummy.
What was that? How did you fall down? And what are you doing over here at this time of night?
Actually, I just went to get some water.
Oh, is it? So how did you get this chocolate on your face and your hands? Would you like to explain that? Look, Rika, do not lie. Lying is a very bad thing. Oh. Secondly, Ramin kept this chocolate as an interest with us. The summary of a hadith is that he's not from amongst us who is dishonest with believers.
Dishonesty in trust? What does that mean?
Someone keeping their belongings as an interest with us is entrustment. And using that entrustment without his permission is dishonesty in the entrustment.
Sister, I will never lie again or be dishonest in anyone's trust.
Now the chocolate you have eaten, you have to buy a new one and replace it. And when Ramin comes tomorrow, apologize to her as well.
Sure, inshallah. That's what I will do.
Okay, let's go to sleep now. Ramin, we wanted to apologize to you as well. Apologize? What for? Actually, what happened was that Rika ate some chocolate from it, but I did replace it by buying a new one.
Sister Ramin, please forgive me for the mistake that I have made.
No problem. My mum said that. Give one chocolate to Rika as well.
Jazakillahu khairan.
Kaniz Fatima. Achi bachi. Kaniz Fatima.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah viewers, I'm on the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast from our Bradford studios in the UK. And today we're talking about ostentation, and it's something that if you understand it, riyakari, showing off, you understand it is that you constantly need to question yourselves. How do we react under that situation when you praise someone? What should our mindset should be under that situation? And there's nothing wrong in praising someone. It's a good thing in that you're putting happiness in the heart. But at the same time, that when you receive that happiness in your heart, you know, what is your heart feeling? You know, is feeling happy. Okay, that's okay. But is it happy because that's what you wanted to hear? You know, that was your whole purpose of performing that good deed, so that people would say that about you. And we mentioned before about the Salah, but it could be mentioned in any way. The person who's having Nafl fast, the person who's reciting the Naat. And I remember once I was in a masjid and there was a mehfil there taking place. And a Naat Khwan came in and he looked through the window to see how many people were there. And he went back out and I said, Azur, where are you going? I'll take you. And no, there's not enough people yet. I'll wait until there's more people. And then he went out. And I'm thinking, what is this? Again, you know, why are we doing these things? And you know, when you're spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, why, you know, if we're spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is our intention? And I remember, I've mentioned it before on Madani Channel, that I was traveling and I was in a town and I found out where the local Sunni masjid was, and I went there for Jummah, and the chairman of the masjid got up, you know, as is happens in a lot of masjids, after the bayan and before the khutbah, and he said that, you know, as you know, in previous weeks, I've not been making any announcements. And the reason why I've not been making any announcements is because during this time, the Imam said, this is the peak time, give me this time so I can teach people, I can educate people, because this is the time that the masjid is full, so we agreed to it. But however, as a result of us doing that, our donations have gone down. And it dawned on me that what happens is the chairman of the masjid or the secretary or the treasurer of the masjid gets up at that time and he said, oh, this person's given £100, may Allah accept his dua. This person's given £200, this person's given £50, please do dua for him. And these sort of announcements are made. And then it dawned on me that people have stopped giving them donations now because the announcements are not being made. So then the question is why are we giving money to the masjid? Are we giving it for the pleasure of our Rabb, or are we giving it so that these announcements are made? So all of these things we need to ask ourselves. That when we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, although it's a very good reward, the huge reward of spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the reward is so great, and we've done whole programs on this. But if it's spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we're doing it, why? To achieve the praise of the people? Are we doing it so that people will do this? Or, you know, again, it's your intention. If, for example, there is an announcement being made that we're extending the masjid, we need £20,000 for the wuzu khana, is there anybody that can give any donations? And everybody sits down quietly and nobody stands up, and you think, you know what, I stand up and I say, okay, I will give £500. Now, if at that moment in time, my intention is to give £500 to encourage others to give, if that is purely my intention, that I'm giving £500, one, to get the pleasure of my Rabb, two, to spend in the way of Allah, three, to encourage others to give, then that's all well and good. But if I'm getting up to say, I'm going to give £500 so that everyone will say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, wah, kya baat hai, wah, haji sahab, wah. If that's my intention, then that's what I'll get. You know, they say that you will get according to your intention. If your intention is to get the praise of people, you will get it. If your intention is to attain your Rabb's pleasure, then inshallah, azza wa jal, you'll get it. And as a result of getting that, maybe, yes, you may get all these things as well. So in the same way that if his intention is to achieve the pleasure of his Rabb, if your intention is to get people to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and to encourage them, and you stand up and people praise you, then that's secondary. Like I said, your primary, in fact, your only goal should be to achieve the pleasure of your Rabb. And again, in all of our aspects, if all of our aspects, we're going on the Hajj, we're going on Umrah, you know, and we're going there and we're taking pictures and we're putting it on social media and we're putting it, you know, that on social media, there's these, I've never been able to, okay, I could do it. You can put it that I'm leaving this airport, I'm going to this airport, I'm going here, I'm going there. Please do dua for a successful journey. Why? You know, if our intention is genuinely to please do dua for me, yeah? Please do dua for me that I'm going to the sacred lands and I'm very, very fortunate that Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled me to go there. Please do dua for me. Then that's all well and good. But are we doing it? Oh, he's going on Umrah. Oh, he's going on Hajj. Oh, he's going here. He's going there. And same with the Muballiqs of Dawud Islami. When we're traveling on a Madri Khafa, we're going to places and we're taking pictures of ourselves in front of the masjids, in front of the places that we're going. I'm not saying it's wrong, because if we're doing it with the intention of encouraging others, then that's all well and good. But are we? That's the question we need to ask. And now, alhamdulillah, whilst, you know, you see people that are giving aid and spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, helping people that are the poor and the needed. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it to attain the pleasure of our Rabb, or are we doing it for other reasons? And these are the sort of questions that we need to ask ourselves. Whenever, for example, there's an appeal made and people want their name mentioned, be on the channel, be anything. Are we doing it for this reason? Or are we doing it to encourage others as well? And there is no harm in certain ways of letting people know about your good deeds if your intention is correct. But like we have been told many, many times, that give with the right hand so the left hand doesn't know. You know? And if the left hand doesn't know, then how does all people in the street know? You know, the idea being that give it in such a way that even your left hand doesn't know what you're doing. But we make sure the whole world knows about it. And this, again, it puts these question marks on us. It puts these question marks on us that, are we doing it for the right reasons? And so, the fear that we should have is that whilst we live a life trying to stay away from committing sins, we live our life trying to perform good deeds. Are them good deeds going to be accepted? And one of the conditions of the acceptance of our good deeds is our sincerity. How sincere are we with them good deeds? Whatever good deed we have performed. Now, I'm not going to say it is haram to take pictures. I'm not going to say it's haram to publicize or to let people know about your good deeds. I'm not going to say that at all. I'm not in a position to say that. But the only question I would say, and I'd ask myself, and I ask others to ask themselves, is why? Why am I performing this good deed? Why am I making people aware of this good deed? And if the answer is acceptable, then carry on. But that is a huge question, and the only person that can answer that question is myself or yourself. I can answer that question about myself, and you can answer this question about yourself. When you spend in the way of Allah, when you give in the way of Allah, when you travel in the way of Allah, when you do ibadat, when you do nafl fast, when you go on umrah, when you go on hajj, when you do all of these things, you know, when you build water wells, mosques, and all of these things that you do, are we doing all of these things for the right reasons? If we are, then inshallah, the reward is with Allah. If we are not, then my advice to you now is reflect and think. And so, every good deed that we perform, every good deed that we perform, we need to ask ourselves. And another deed comes to mind that happens a lot where people are unfortunately succumbing to the problem of ostentation, and that is the namaz janazah. That people go and attend the funeral prayers of someone. Why? Are we going there so that we can become aware of the state of someone, look at that dead body, and think to ourselves that today it is him, tomorrow it could be me? Are we going there so that we can do dua for the deceased, get the reward from that, and hopefully pray that, Ya Allah, when my time comes, people will do the same for me as well? Are we going to the graveyard so that we can get the reward of being part of the process of lowering that body into the dark and lonely grave? Are we going there so that we can fulfill the sunnah of putting soil on the grave? Are we going there so that we can be part of the dua after the namaz janazah and the dua at the graveyard? Are we going to the khatam so that we can attain the reward of reading the Quran there and being part of the dua? Is that our intention? And if it is, then congratulations. But in some cases, what happens is we're going to the namaz janazah because if we don't go, then people will fall out with me. I need to go because he was an influential person. I need to go because he was an important person. I need to go because, you know, it'd be good for me. It'd be good for my development. It'll be good for my career. It'll be good for my institute. It'll be good for my organization. It'll be good for this. And I need to show face there. Yeah. And so we'll attend the namaz janazah, and we'll make sure, we'll make a point out to making sure that the family members see us. Yeah. You know, we don't just attend the namaz janazah, and after the namaz janazah, we raise our hands and do the dua, and then we leave. We make a point of going to that family and seeing them. Now, if we're going to that family again with the intention that you want to console them, you want to give them condolences, you know, you want to give them a hug and say, inshallah, if there's anything you need, I'm here. I pray for you. May Allah give you patience at this time, and doing dua for them. If that is your intention, then okay. But if we're going there so we want to be seen, then that's another question that we need to ask. Is that why we're doing it? And again, these are the sort of things that we need to ask ourselves, these questions. If you're going there for all the good reasons, then you should be really going to all of the namazi janazah that you're aware of. And these are the questions that we need to ask. I'm not saying you have to attend all of the namazi janazah, all of the funeral prayers to prove your sincerity. What I'm saying to you is that whatever good deed you perform when you go to these funeral prayers, are you doing it with a sincere reason? And these are the questions that we need to ask. And there's people that have written that, you know, if how can you see the signs of ostentation in someone? What are the signs that someone has this in them? And, you know, they say that if you want to ask yourselves, am I suffering from this disease? Am I falling victim to this? Then ask yourself, am I lazy in performing my salah when I'm alone, but I'm prompt when I'm with people? Am I on my own not performing the nawafil prayers of the salah, but when everybody's there, I'm performing them? Then maybe I'm succumbing myself to ostentation. And maybe that is the reason. Am I increasing my deeds when people are praising me? You know, people say, mashallah, you're doing an excellent job. Oh, I'm going to do more now. Am I going to do more because I'm realizing that people are praising me, and maybe as a result of them praising me, maybe that makes me realize that what I'm doing is right. And so because I'm doing what is right, then inshallah, Allah will be more pleased with me. Or am I doing it because people are praising me, and if I do more of it, then more people will praise me? Then that's ostentation. Another thing is, if you do something that is good, that is a good deed, and people criticize you for it, do you reduce it because of that criticism, or did you carry on? You know, if people make fun, for example, they make fun of your talawat, the way that you recite the Quran, they make fun of you, then do you stop reciting the Quran? Or do you continue? Because you weren't reciting it for them anyway, were you? Or were you? If you're reciting it for your Rabb, for the pleasure of your Rabb, then you will not disgrace your good deeds. So these are the sort of things that we need to constantly ask ourselves, that why are we doing things? I've just realized time has gone against us once again. It's now the end of the program. I pray to Allah that Allah give me and you the ability to reflect on our actions, reflect on our sincerity, hopefully stay away from ostentation, riyakari, and showing off. And I pray to Allah that we can constantly question ourselves and improve ourselves. You've been watching Arise and Shine. And until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.